from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
The United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Yep, you heard that right. It's official. The U.S. will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal, claiming the current deal has a decaying and rotten structure. Happy Tuesday. I'm Russ Jones, producer of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Great to be with you here. President Trump also said he will not be held hostage by the deal.
Not only does the deal fail to halt Iran's nuclear ambitions, but it also fails to address the regime's development of ballistic missiles that could deliver nuclear warheads. Finally, the deal does nothing to constrain Iran's destabilizing activities, including its support for terrorism.
And big news on the job growth front. Job growth rebounds, and the U.S. unemployment rate has dropped to a fresh 17-year low in April of 3.9%. Congressman Andy Biggs, one of our friends of Arizona, he will be here shortly to discuss those details. And Carrie Severino of the Judicial Crisis Network, Chief Counsel and Policy Director, she's got a $1 million campaign that she is behind in her organization to address the obstruction, the folks that are obstructing President Trump. $1 million, that's a lot of cash. National television program, an advertising campaign. She'll be here to talk about all of that information and what got that all going. Should be very interesting. And according to a new study, a whopping 39% of 51 liberal arts colleges surveyed have absolutely, you ready for this? Should be no surprise, but it's proof, zero professors who are registered Republicans. Zero, nada, zilch. Dr. Stuart Schwartz, Associate Dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University, will be here to discuss the study. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter, at T Perkins, and you can follow me as well on Twitter, R. Jones Reports. That's R. Jones Reports. Well, as I mentioned, President Trump announced the U.S. is withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal despite pleading and despite folks begging in the European nations to stay in the deal. And the national unemployment rate now stands at 3.9%, the lowest level in nearly two decades, according to the U.S. Labor Department figures for April. With us now is Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona, and he's a member of the House Judiciary Committee and member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Biggs, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Russ.
Well, I understand you're in the bowels of the Capitol, and you just left to giving some votes there, and appreciate you taking time to be with us. What are some of your initial thoughts here on this big news on Iran?
Well, I thought, first of all, President Trump did a great job laying out his case, number one. Number two, I thought he sounded very presidential. He did a superior job. Everything from talking about the ballistic missile threat to the destabilization that we've seen in the region and the failure of the current JCPOA to address those types of issues as well. So it made sense for him to withdraw. And I also, I got to tell you, I was very impressed when he started talking about the heritage of the Iranian people and the oppression that they've been under the current regime for about 40 years now. And I thought that was very, very humane of him, but also very necessary to understand that there are people there who disagree with the tyrannical regime that controls Iran today.
Yeah, it really puts that whole deal into context, doesn't it? And don't you think this also marks President Trump's foreign policy?
Yeah, I do. I think here's a guy who really wants – I think he really understands that America is the light on the hill. It's supposed to be a beacon of freedom and hope to the world, and that means that – we don't intervene necessarily with every other nation, but as the light of the world, we're going to provide support for people and encouragement for people who are seeking freedom. And that's great. And I also think that being tough, being a realist, being a negotiator like that, it also causes the capacity for more stability, more peace in that region, which means more peace in the world.
And we're hearing from former President Obama. He's none too pleased. And what are your thoughts about John Kerry getting in there and meddling?
Yeah, I think Mr. Kerry might have been actually engaged in criminal conduct. He had no authority to go there on behalf of the United States government. Private individuals are forbidden under federal law to go and negotiate with foreign leaders. And I think that's what he was doing. And I think that's problematic for him.
Well, you're one of our strong conservatives there on the Hill, and it's got to be interesting to watch this administration, even though we hear all kinds of other things about collusion and Russia. This president is slowly dismantling Obama-era policies that were quite destructive. Aren't we seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. And Russ, think of it this way. He's doing all that with at least one hand tied behind his back because he has to fend off the Mueller investigation and the Russian collusion stuff, which has already been debunked, but they continue to investigate him because they're investigating, they want a crime. So President Trump, in the meantime, is over there getting things like regulatory reform, tax cuts, which included the single payer on the Obamacare issue. I mean, he's talking about transportation infrastructure. He's rebuilding the military. He's actually, people thought he was a bumpkin with regard to foreign affairs. But, I mean, we're talking North Korea has come to the table. This is a fantastic development. We could see peace there. You could see Mike Pompeo come out in the next day or two with three Americans that have been held prisoner over there. Wouldn't that be remarkable? And then you're going to see something, positive happen in the Mideast over that. You're seeing Saudi Arabia weigh in. So both domestically and internationally, this president, all the while being handicapped by the attacks from the left, he's being very successful. Very successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And with a third of the staff and folks not getting confirmed and positions that still need to be filled, we're seeing all of this happen. I can only imagine if he was fully staffed and full steam ahead. On the unemployment front, the unemployment rate fell to 3.9%, the lowest since December 2000. The rate for African Americans fell to 6.6%, the lowest level on record. I know you're excited to talk about that.
Yeah, you better believe it, Russ. This is what these policies of the Republicans in the House and Senate and this president have done. I mean, people, when they can get jobs, and let's just break it away from the numbers for just a second. You and I both know, and your audience knows this too, when people are engaged in meaningful work, they feel more part of the community. There's greater stability in their lives. There's less sociopathic behaviors that you might otherwise see. And I'm talking about crime. So you have less crime. You have fewer divorces. You actually have people engaged in the community in every way, and that's absolutely critical. And that's the benefit of a low unemployment rate. And we have about 6.6 million jobs openings right now in the country. You have 12 million people on social welfare that are not working. We need to get those 12 million people off the couch. And I'm talking able-bodied people. Get them off the couch and get them into the workforce. And we're just going to continue to progress as an economy, and that will be good for the societal and cultural aspects of the country as well.
And you know, the monthly job gains have averaged about 200,000 this year, more than the roughly 120,000 needed to keep up with growth in working age population. How do these numbers correspond with the tax cuts? You know, folks on the left were fearful that these tax cuts were going to crush the economy. We weren't going to get enough revenue. But isn't that President Trump's idea behind all of this? And those of you that have a more conservative worldview that, hey, you cut the tax, you loosen the purse strings, untie the hands of corporate America, and that's going to allow them to invest in their companies and hire more folks.
Yeah, Russ, you just said it. That's exactly right. One thing we know, and we learned this under Ronald Reagan. We even learned it under President Kennedy when he was touting a tax cut. Even President Kennedy said it's counterintuitive. But when you lower taxes, a couple things happen. People keep more of their money. They start spending more. They feel more optimistic about life. Businesses are the same way. And so when I come back from my district this week and I'm talking to individuals and business owners, and every one of them is optimistic about the direction the economy is going. And what that does is they, because they're confident, they're willing to take another risk. Maybe they're going to hire a couple more people. Maybe they're going to buy a piece of machinery, which will need another person to run it. They're going to expand, and people are going to buy the products. And guess what happens? You cut the tax rate, and the federal income tax had the highest month ever last month. So it's beautiful. I had one guy come up to me and said, you know, Andy, you can use my story. He said I'm just a guy, and the tax cuts are, I'm going to make $5,000 more take home this year. I won't necessarily make more money, but because my tax rate's reduced, I'm going to have $5,000 more in my pocket. That's one of the beautiful things that happens when you respect the economy.
And that's what we're seeing. President Trump's tax policies, the rollback of Obama-era regulations, and the partial elimination of Obamacare. Aren't those the main reasons for the growing economy, lower unemployment, high stock market values? Even after President Trump's announcement today, stock market dipped just a little bit, but now it's coming back.
Yeah, that's right, because when you loosen the regulatory environment, people can do more, right? And it doesn't cost them as much to do more. Much of that is wasted regulation. When you cut their tax rate, the burden is smaller, so they can reinvest in their businesses, and they can hire more people. They can give raises. They can give bonuses. This is what drives the economy. So people are talking about unintended consequences of pulling out of the JCPOA, but the Iran deal. But in reality, there are also some unintended benefits that will come from that, such as gas exploration, oil and gas exploration and distribution in this country will actually, they'll go up. And they'll have success as well.
And I'm sure you're going to have your eye on the primaries tonight, as we all will, and we'll be reporting all those tomorrow. So lots of important races, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And I'm hoping that we get our strong Republicans elected through the primaries, because I think that we have a good message. We have a good story to tell. And look, I'm a pro-life guy. I'm a litmus test pro-life guy. So if we can get some more pro-life people in the United States Senate, we have a chance to get to end some of these late-term abortions and other things, the heartbeat bill, things that need to get through to start saving the lives of the unborn innocents. And I think that is a critical issue as well. So, you know, you've got a good economy, you've got some strong social issues, and you've got good international policy. These things are important for us.
Congressman, thank you so much for taking time, coming off the floor. I know you're busy, and we'll have you in our thoughts and prayers as you stand in the gap for us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Russ. Have a good one.
You too. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. Well, coming up next, a group dedicated to strengthening liberty and justice in America is about to spend over $1 million condemning the gridlock in Washington, D.C. against President Trump. We'll talk with Carrie Severino of the Judicial Crisis Network when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008. 225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, this Tuesday edition. I'm Russ Jones, the producer of this program, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, the Judicial Crisis Network is launching $1 million national television and digital ad campaign targeting Senate Democrats for continuing to obstruct President Trump's agenda by not confirming his outstanding judicial nominees. With us now is Carrie Severino, Judicial Crisis Network Chief Counsel and Policy Director. Carrie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Carrie, I understand that this ad will run for 2 weeks on cable channels like CNN, Fox, and airport channels, and is part of JCN's hashtag gridlock reform campaign that was launched last year. Tell us about it.
Yeah, what we've seen is President Trump doing his best with the help of the GOP Senate to fulfill his campaign promise to put judges in the court who are going to be in the mold of Justice Scalia, faithful to the Constitution, faithful to laws. And he has done a great job of picking some of those excellent nominees. There's been some stellar Supreme Court nominee or appellate judge nominees, as well as obviously Justice Gorsuch from the Supreme Court. He, with the cooperation of Leader McConnell, they got a record number of circuit court nominees through last year because they really prioritized those appellate judges because they're the most significant. But what we've seen is Senate Democrats going to unheard of lengths to use all these different procedural gimmicks to slow down nominees so that the overall judge confirmation rate has been very low. And what we've seen is he started office with just a little over 100 nominees or 100 vacancies to fill. Now it's up to 180. So in that period of time, we've confirmed about a little over 30 judges, and there have been about 100 vacancies opening up so that we only netted, you know, we're losing ground here. That's a real problem because, you know, A, our courts can't run without judges, and B, this is part of the president's mandate. This is why the American people put him here. It's a significant portion of his job. We can't have the Democrats trying to block these nominees who have majority support. They're excellent, outstanding judges, and we need to get those confirmations moving.
Yeah, I think I was reading out 27 for courts of appeals. There's 12 pending nominees and 153 district specialty courts, 60 pending nominees, 35 judicial nominees are still awaiting the floor votes. So tell us, describe the ad and what do you say in the ad?
But we're just talking about, again, what I said, with where this is something that is a key legacy of the president. These are people who are going to be on the bench for life. And the Democrats are trying to slow down this process to a halt. One of the things they've been doing is, instead of just allowing people to move forward on a vote that they know there is a majority vote for, sometimes people even with unanimous support, they're using a process called cloture to block that. They say we need up to 30 hours of time to debate a nominee. But what's really happening is it's open mic night. There's just nobody there. They're milling around. Sometimes they're talking about unrelated things, wasting the Senate's time when there's important things for them to be doing, and just trying to throw a monkey wrench in the work. So we think the American people need to be aware of what's going on and need to call their senators, Republican or Democrat, to say this cannot continue. The Democrat senators need to get off of playing just for Chuck Schumer and realize they're working for the American people and the people of their state. And then the other option is senators can change that process. There's a rule change that's out there that Senator Lankford of Oklahoma has proposed that would limit the amount of wasteful debate time that's being done. Obviously, if there's real debating going on, we want it to happen, but we don't want the Senate to be wasting the American people's time, really, just sitting there doing nothing when there's nominees. So limiting that debate time, I think, would be a great first step.
And what kind of reaction are you getting?
Well, I think people are interested, and they're starting to recognize that this is a problem. We're even seeing senators who didn't, have thought, well, you know, we don't want to have to change anything, who are starting to get so fed up with the process and with the way it's been abused, really, by the Democrats. But I think it's ripe for movement. But I think particularly in an election year, this is a great time to reach out to your senator and say, hey, are you going to do what we sent you to Washington to do? Are you going to help move forward on good judges, or are you just going to try to gum things up? And I think, unfortunately, what the Democrats have been doing, this sort of hashtag resistance, is saying, even if it's a nominee that we like, you know, some of these people were even previously nominated by President Obama and were consensus appointees that the Trump said, okay, I'll, in a gesture of good faith, renominate these people. Even they have been required to go through all of this wasteful, slow walking, just out of spite, almost, it seems. So I think we need to just remind those senators, we need to reform, end this gridlock, and start moving forward as a nation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really been incredible. I was just talking with Congressman Biggs about this very topic. It's amazing what President Trump has been able to get done with his hands tied behind his back, really. And mm-hmm. Can you only imagine how the government would run and what could get done if he was fully able to engage and have the tools that he needs to do the job?
It's true. And as I said, there were record numbers of circuit court nominees that got through last year. And that is a real testament to how high a priority that both the White House and Leader McConnell and the Republican senators have made this, because they've been doing it swimming upstream all the way. It used to be a process where, you know, judges would get a lot of deference. The president's picks would get a lot of deference from senators of both parties. And in this case, they're doing things like this, calling for cloture. That was something you would never do just as a routine matter. It was only for the most controversial people who really did need debate. Now it's literally almost every single judge that they're making jump through all these hurdles that are really designed for solely people who have a real controversy that needs to be debated. So it's not acting in good faith, and that's really discouraging.
And we know how important the judge positions are, because there's a lot of judges out there that are trying to legislate from the bench and rule by policy and not by law. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And you can see it most obviously lately in things like the travel ban cases or the sanctuary city cases, where you've got judges who, you know, the beginning and end of their reasoning seems to be, well, President Trump did this, and we think he must be a racist, so he can't do that, period. That's not a legal argument. That's not how we analyze these rules. You know, there are standards that we hold executive orders to, but it's not, I don't like this president, and therefore he can't do it. So those are the kind of judges we need out. We need someone who's just going to take it fairly, apply the same rules to both parties. That's the kind of judges I think all Americans would want on the bench.
Carrie Severino, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us on Washington Watch. Very informative. Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
You too. That's Carrie Severino, Judicial Crisis Network. Well, coming up next, would you be surprised to learn that nearly 40% of the colleges surveyed don't have at least one Republican on its faculty. Dr. Stuart Schwartz, Associate Dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University, up next after the break. Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Thanks for tuning in to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're hearing this program all across the land, some 250 stations across the United States. Heard online, all this great content can be found at TonyPerkins.com. And this topic is really dear to my heart here, in a sad way, but I'm passionate about it. It's not a myth, and now we have more research to prove it. 39% of top-tier liberal arts colleges don't have a single Republican professor, according to a new report released by the National Association of Scholars. That is astounding. And I have encountered this firsthand in my own professional life throughout the years in my interactions with various universities. Well, joining us now is Dr. Stuart Schwartz. He's the Associate Dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University. Now, folks, full disclosure here. I teach part-time online at Liberty University, and Dr. Schwartz is the dean of the school for which I teach. And it's a great honor for me, and it's one of the privileges that I have had in recent months to engage in the academic process. Dr. Schwartz, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate the chance to come on with you.
Well, this isn't really a surprise, is it? As I said, I've personally encountered this kind of bias at a number of different places, certainly not at Liberty. But what does this say to you about the state of our academic institutions right now?
I think there's a reason why so many academic institutions are failing. I think there's a reason why so many are having problems with enrollment, with being able to bring people in, to get them through in a timely amount of time. I think there's a reason. And one of the reasons is just because of this, because we're focusing more, and by we, I'm talking mostly secular institutions, but we're focusing more on indoctrination rather than education, and specifically education for the market, for the job market.
Yeah, and I think we do our students a disservice, frankly. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before. I go way out of my way, understanding my own worldview and my own biases, not to allow that to impact the educational process with students. And I can very well engage with a student that has a different worldview than I do and still grade them accordingly. And unfortunately, I think too many students aren't getting that same opportunity.
No, I think you're absolutely on target on that one. Here's the thing, though, it seems to me, since I have had conversations with you before about a variety of subjects like this, you're able to explain your position and explain it very well. That's one that comes from who you are and your being. But in my experience, liberal professors, radical faculty, progressives, don't so much want to explain. They're not able to explain. It's easier for them to indoctrinate or to shout at people rather than make a rationed, reasonable argument about something. I've just found them unable, really, to compete when it comes to reasonably talking through things.
And I don't know what the answer is. And I'm not sure I'm ready to say universities should engage in some sort of, this is ironic, affirmative action program for conservative professors, but that's almost where it seems to be. And I'm not going to name any particular universities, but I've been told to my face, oh, you're too conservative, or your worldview, we just can't imagine. And Dr. Schwartz, I recall when I taught years ago at a community college in Kansas, one of my best students was the first day of class. He was wearing a hammer and sickle T-shirt, sitting on the front row, bald with a beard down to halfway down his chest. He didn't agree with anything. He almost bolted from my class when I gave my my bio of my years of experience. And you know what? He wound up taking four classes from me. And the very last day of the last class, he said, Russ, I got to tell you, you're one of my most favorite Christians, and I've really appreciated you. You never showed your bias in the grading of this class or any of the classes I took. That's why I wound up taking four from you, and I almost left the very first one, but I didn't, and you truly were open to various ideas, and you were clear in explaining yourself like you just said. And I said, well, back at you, you're my most favorite atheist.
Well, I've experienced you before, and obviously I'm experiencing you right now, and you work through thoughts and talk about them, and you're articulate. And the reality is very few traditional college professors are articulate. They know how to spout ideas, or they know how to talk about a particular subject matter that they've memorized. But it's harder for them to produce a reasoned analysis. And I think the results show in the types of students that we produce.
Dr. Schwartz, can you hold on? We're up against a hard break. I want to ask you another question or two. Can you hold on?
Absolutely.
Very good. We're talking with Dr. Stuart Schwartz. He's the Associate Dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University. You're listening to Watching and Watch. We're talking about this new study that came out. 39% of colleges have zero Republican professors. Don't go away. We're going to continue this compelling conversation. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, City. Go to TonyPerkins.com. You can see all this great content. Don't go away.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008, or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Round in third, heading towards home. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Dr. Stuart Schwartz. He's the Associate Dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University, talking about this new survey, this new study out. 39% of colleges have zero Republican professors. Dr. Schwartz, thanks for holding on.
You're welcome.
Another quick question here.
Sure.
If I were to write a dissertation, and that might, you never know, never know. Might this be at the heart of why we have as much media bias today and censorship that we see? Because there's this kind of this petri dish of liberalism that just doesn't get outside its own bubble. And then these folks graduate you never really see a more liberal engineer. I was doing the research on this, or constructional engineer. Most of these people that have a more liberal worldview wind up going into some kind of liberal arts profession or the media or journalism. But I'm wondering, when I was at University of Missouri, it was okay to agree to disagree, and politics just wasn't at the heart of every conversation. And now we're here and having to deal with it, and I think that might have something to do with it.
I think you're right. It perpetuates itself. When you talk about a petri dish, essentially what you have is a culture at most universities that simply says, if you're like us, we're going to let you in. And if you're like us, you will even steer doctorates in a certain direction when they're writing their dissertation. Thinking It's almost as if universities are becoming a no-thought zone, and you're just not allowed to think in these universities or analyze or be a critical analysis, for example. I think part of that really is because we don't pay enough attention. Most universities do not pay enough attention to what are the jobs out there, what are the opportunities for our students, and how can we educate to make them do a better job out there in the world. That's a large part of the focus of, say, where I work, where you have taught, Liberty University, and we're very connected to that. But in order to be connected to that, you have to be nimble. You have to be thinking all the time, what's new? How can I bring students along in the latest technologies? You have to be focused on them instead of, I want to tell you or shout at you, this is what I believe, and you ought to believe it too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Tony Perkins, FRC president, he's a graduate of Liberty. My wonderful wife, my bride, she's a graduate of Liberty. And I have seen all of those things you just said at work and in folks that I work very close with, and actually in my wife. I mean, I saw it firsthand, saw the great education she got and where the free flowing of ideas happened on a regular basis there. So, well, Dr. Schwartz, thank you so much for coming on here, and I appreciate your insights. And, I don't think we're going to be able to solve this today, but it has confirmed what I think we already knew, hasn't it?
Oh, I think so. It's been that way for a long time. Places like Liberty and other types of universities of its type are having an effect, but it's a long, long road.
It is indeed. Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on the program in this way, and I appreciate you sharing your insights.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Stuart Schwartz, very, very informed academic, associate dean of the School of Communication and Digital Content at Liberty University. And, it's a great school. I've gotten to see it firsthand and get to see the education that's taking place there. Let's talk about this. How are you dealing with this kind of issue? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. You know, I think one of the best defenses as parents is to teach our children good moral behavior, biblical principles, before our children get exposed to the leftist indoctrination. So when they do, at least they know the difference. Now, that's not foolproof. We have to believe in Scripture and believe that once our kids see the truth, they may stray, but one day they'll come back to it because they know what Scripture says. They know the difference between right and wrong, and we are just living in a time. Did you see the other day that masculinity at the University of Texas, masculinity is now considered a mental disorder that needs to be dealt with? I mean, this is unbelievable what we're beginning to see, and we're seeing more indoctrination rather than education that's taking place in our institutions of higher education and higher learning. And quite frankly, I don't want to be a part of that. That's why I'm honored to be engaged with students and encourage them to share their ideas, and then I can gently direct and give my opinion on that, give my insights on a different worldview and a different way to look at things. But to go into something and say, I'm going to change you so you can become way up here in the upper echelons with me when you get through with my class. Yeah, didn't work for me. Let's go to Don in Birmingham, Alabama. Don, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Just want to make a comment here. Back in 1974, when I first went to the University of Alabama, I had the option of signing up to be a journalism major because my dad was in the newspaper business. But I made the decision not to become a journalism major because of what was already the strong liberal bias in the journalism department. at the Alabama at that time. And looking at the way things are now, I'm glad that I made that decision.
Yeah, well, so you, where did you wind up going?
Well, I wound up becoming an English lit major for a while at Alabama, but I wound up getting a degree in history.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you. Don in Birmingham, thanks for calling Washington Watch. Good insights. Let's go to Ken in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Man, I am good. How are you doing? It's sun's out. And
thank you.
I think summer is here.
So my son-in-law was 6 months from graduating from a public university in Oklahoma with his Ph.D., when his faculty advisor discovered he was writing a Christian blog under a pseudonym. And he called him in the office and said, I'm pulling your funding, and I'll tell you, you cannot graduate from this department in the degree program you've chosen if you're a Christian.
Oh, my God. When was this?
This was about 5 years ago. And
wow.
Now my son-in-law is an anti-abortion activist because he realized he couldn't live the dream he had of being an academician and maybe an undercover Christian in academia. So he decided,
right,
I might as well get out there and just become an activist. And that's what he's doing, and I'm really proud of him.
Well, that's a very good story. You know, Ken, when I went to seminary, I just felt called to go to seminary and to ministry. And I was so naive. I mean, you'll laugh at this. I did not know and understand back in the day that there were actually people that didn't believe in one road to God, that there were folks that believed in multiple roads of God. You know what I'm talking about? And
right.
And I just felt called, and I got to the seminary, and it wound up being like a little mini Stalinist campus kind of environment. And the next thing I know, I knew I was politically conservative, but I didn't have a clue about theology and who I was and all that. Well, make a long story short, I found out that I was, you know, a systematic theologian, and that I believed that there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that the Bible was the inerrant word of God, and that we were in need of restoration, and that only came through Jesus Christ. Amen. I presented my written, what it was called, a credo, and then I had to defend it verbally, and I did that, and these three really elitist kind of academic folks, they said, we don't believe a doggone thing you've said, but you've defended it well, and I aced my credo. Isn't that a great story?
That is a great story. And, you know,
they truly were democratic.
You're one of the best stories, and I think my son-in-law is too.
Yeah, amen, amen. Ken, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Ryan in Topeka, Kansas. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Man, I'm good. I used to sit in an office at 10th and Fillmore. You know what was at 10th and Fillmore in Topeka, Kansas?
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
What?
I worked just out.
What's that?
I said I worked just down the street from there.
It was WREN Radio. Remember the Wren Bird?
Yes, indeed.
My office used to be Alf Kassebaum. He ran for president in 1933. His office was my office. Anyway, just a little factoid there. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this is, you know, this leftism that we're running into is, you know, intersectionality and whatnot is essentially a religion. And, you know, maybe me speaking as a Reformed Presbyterian here, but family worship and catechismal instruction of the ancient faith, and, you know, that we have a 2,000-year history of what we believe is important. And if we pass it on to our children, I mean, it doesn't promise that they'll be Christian, but at the same time, you know, there's much more likely, you know, that they'll stay in the faith, that they know the reasons for their faith and why they believe what they believe.
Yeah, amen. That's good points, and hopefully we can, you know, I'm a parent, and I pray all the time. I pray I've been a good witness to my kids, and that's all we can do, right?
Amen.
Amen. Ryan, thanks for calling from Topeka, Kansas. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Russ, thanks for all that you do. I'd say the liberals have taken over the colleges and universities, not just recently, but quite a while back. I graduated from a liberal university here in Ohio, and the one thing your conservative listeners can do is every year I get an alumni donation letter from them, and every year I write back and say I don't support liberal institutions with liberal bias. So I encourage all your conservative listeners that have a college degree, when they get that alumni donation slip, they're not required to send a donation in every year to support them. And second thing, I'd like to remind your Christian conservative voters that we've got primaries in four key states today. Ohio here, we've got a lot of good conservative pro-life candidates available to vote here in Ohio. I encourage everybody to get out and vote for them. Also Indiana, West Virginia, and North Carolina.
Right.
If you're not
right.
sure about the candidates, look at who the Freedom Caucus is endorsing and who the Tea Party right. endorses. I know in Charlotte area, the Freedom Caucus and Sandy Rios have endorsed Mark right. Harris in the Charlotte area. So I encourage all four states to get out and vote for the conservative candidates. You know, we get to November and we complain right. we don't have any good candidates. Well, today's the day to get out and
right.
vote. Most polls are open until 7 or 7:30, so thank you.
All right, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it. And, you know, there's all kinds of schools out there, but a few that rise to the top, Liberty and Hillsdale and Regents University, are just to name a few. Let's real quick go to Mitch, St. John's, Kansas. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. You know, I wanted to bring up that we have a lot of occupations besides just colleges that are really dominated by liberals. We'll take lower, you know, K-12 is, but the education, I'm sorry, the entertainment industry.
Right.
The legal profession. How many others? I mean, there's a whole lot at journalism, obviously, that liberals gravitate towards. And I think it's because they have the drive to try to influence other people. So they choose careers where they can live out that drive.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's inundated, and it's not just one profession. You're absolutely right. Very good points. And say hello to our listeners there in St. John's, Kansas. Know right where you're at. I appreciate you calling Washington Watch. Real quick here, I think we got time for one quick call. Daryl in Houston. Daryl, real quick.
Yes, I'm basically teaching everybody on the bus, everyone I'm talking to, I'm explaining what we're up against. This is a form of religion that based on atheism is always ultimately leads to some man playing God over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very true. And we see a lot of that, and we see a lot of folks that
yes.
just don't want a biblical worldview, and they want to present the non-biblical worldview, but they don't want to give the other worldview. I see that, don't you?
Well, you know, a lot of it is... where I see it really initiating was the American Revolution went one direction, the French Revolution created another path, and we've been butting heads
right.
ever since. Ours was individualism under the control of and acknowledgement of God. Theirs is an atheistic, communistic system. And it's embedded
right.
in the academic
thank
world,
you.
And it's become the seed of it all.
Yeah, Daryl, thank you so much. Sorry to cut you off. We're out of time, Daryl. That was Daryl in Houston, Texas. And folks, I leave you this from John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Friends, it's been great to be with you. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. If the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-383-8. 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.